Sermon series that we're kicking off the year with was born out of a kind of a trip that turned into an idea that turned into like this would be really cool to bring this home for our congregation. And so what we want to talk about the next 6 weeks is going after the big things, going after the big one in your life. And we're going to look at different Bible characters and we're going to parallel our fishing trip experience with themes and principles of the Bible. Today we're going to be talking about Caleb and how he had a different spirit. I mean, Caleb was really on a whole nother level. I mean, when it came to his approach, here were the 10 spies that gave a negative report, and then this one guy, because I think we're tempted to say, well, Joshua and Caleb had a different mindset. True, but Joshua was silent, Caleb was not. So one guy stood up in the midst of a crowd and said the hard thing, said the difficult thing, and said the God thing. I want you to know that when you're going after big things in life, you have to have a different mindset than most people around you. Most people around you are never going to accomplish something great in their life. You need to just know that going in. When you look around at all your friends, how many of them would you say have accomplished great things? And what if we even elevated it a little bit more? What if we said great things for God? What if we said your life, if you look at the panorama of your life, what great things have you done for God so far? If immediately in your mind you can't go in that Rolodex to these different memories, hey, don't fret. It's not too late. We're starting a new year, and maybe with this new year might come a new mentality. As a matter of fact, maybe you could look at Caleb's mindset this morning and see how he approached the big things. And maybe you could take some principles away, apply them to your life. I guarantee you it will change the way you live. People that approach big things in life see it differently. They think about it differently. They talk about it differently. I hope today that you will see Caleb had a different spirit, and the different spirit is what changed his destiny from those around him. So think about that for a moment. Everyone around you has a destiny. Are you willing to tie your destiny to people that aren't on the God track? Or are you following after people that are connected to the promises of God that are going to take you into the promised land? So today, let's get into Caleb's story. And before we do that, I want to set the tone with this verse. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. I mean, think about this. God is sitting in heaven right now, and his eyes are scanning the earth. And he's looking for someone whose heart is fully committed or completely his. And he says he will show up, that he wants to show up strong for those who commit their lives to him. Did you know that if you're going through any struggle right now in your life, whether it be in your relationships, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your spiritual life, any struggle, any fear, any worry, wouldn't this be a great verse to latch onto? Wouldn't this be a great verse to bury down and plant in your heart and allow it to grow up and produce fruit in your life? The fact that God says he's actually looking for people whose heart is fully committed to him. And when you commit to him, he says, I will show up on your behalf. That I want to be strong on your behalf. Man, this morning, if you're not experiencing that, that should be a flashing red light. That perhaps, just perhaps, you've allowed some things to get in the way of your relationship with God. I hope that you can look today and see a contrast between Caleb and the other guys, and see that the other guys didn't make it, and Caleb did. So let's jump into the text this morning in Numbers chapter 13. We're going to pick up this text. The spies have gone out, and now they've returned, and they're giving a report of what they saw. And based upon this recommendation, we're going to see that the people are going to respond and they're going to ultimately listen to the wrong people, and that's going to have some dire consequences. And so as we're reading this today, I want you to kind of put yourself in the audience's perspective. You're going to hear from 10 guys who see it one way, and then you're going to hear from one guy, just one lone dude that has a completely different opinion and ask yourself, which one are you inclined in your life to go with? Are you inclined to go with the cans or the can'ts? Do you find yourself following the people that have a negative perspective on life, or do you find yourself following after the people that say, we must because we can with God's help? Listen to this text. They reported to Moses, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is good. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, and here is some of the fruit. And it says that two men had to carry one cluster of grapes. It was that good. However, the people living in the land are strong. The cities are large and fortified. And so you can hear this moment, it becomes pregnant with an escape clause. Have you ever seen people that are on their way to something awesome, and then someone comes beside them and gives them a however? I mean, it's good. They said, it's good. It's God good. I mean, do you understand? I mean, when a God says this is the promised land, it's the promised land, all right? He has a great track record. If you haven't ever read the Bible, you should read it, because every time God said it was going to go this way, that's the way it went. When he spoke it, it was. So whenever he says you're going to win, you're going to win. If he says you're going to lose, you're going to lose. So here was God saying, this land is for you. It's the promised land. And so when they went in, they said, just like he said, it's good. However, man, whenever someone throws a however at you, you need to be careful, because what you do next might just determine your destiny. How did Caleb respond? It says, then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land, because we can certainly conquer/overcome it. We must because we can. Think about that for just a moment. Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up, the other guys, responded to Caleb's position. And they said, we can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we are. So they gave a negative report to the Israelites. You see, whenever someone doesn't want to go with you into the deeper waters, they are going to start telling everyone else, don't go with them, because if you go with them, you're going to die. You're going to perish. You're never going to make it. So the however instantly was ratcheted up because someone met it with opposition. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, if you can't see a pattern of behavior of someone who's going after the great things, the big things in life, then you are going to miss out on so much of what God has for you. Truly, Caleb was an overcomer. And I want you to watch today that whenever someone decides to walk by faith and not by sight, they become an overcomer, and overcomers have some distinct characteristics that I want us to look at. Number one, overcomers have this capacity to say whatever to the howevers. Now, I'm not talking about a teenager, you know, roll their eyes, whatever, you know, like you just want to slap them across the side of the head, right? If you didn't think you'd go to jail, maybe you'd get away with that. So anyway, I'm talking about a whatever that hears someone's opinion and you know it's wrong, and you have the capacity in the moment to discern it's wrong, that we shouldn't do that. It's against what God says, and you have the ability to say whatever whenever the however comes up, because here's what the however is going to do. The however is going to start the process of you being able to talk yourself out of what God has for you. I'm telling you, God, the Bible says, has designed great things for you. If you don't believe that, why do you even come? Why do you even profess to follow? If you don't believe that he has great things, you should go out, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Because if God isn't who he said he was, then he's not worth following. But this morning, Caleb decided that God was worth it. And so it changed his perspective, and he had the ability to say, whatever, man. I'm not going with the majority. I'm not going with the crowd. I have the ability to look into your escape clause and say, you know what? I'm not following you to my doom. You see, I have a divine destiny. And I believe that what God has said, he shall surely bring it to pass. That's what will allow you to say whatever to the howevers. I cannot tell you how many people will dissuade you, and it'll sound so good, right? I mean, yeah, I can see, this is what they say. You tell them your plan, you tell them your dream, and be careful who you share your dream with. Because most people, they are insecure, first of all. So anybody that dreams bigger than them, they almost automatically have this mentality that says, you know what, well, that's just too big, you know. And they start freaking out because they haven't accomplished anything. They don't want you to accomplish anything. And sometimes that's parents. Sometimes it's your spouse. All I'm trying to get you to see this morning is there's going to be a lot of people that throw some howevers at you. And they're going to say it's for your, has anybody ever had this? I'm just looking out for your best interest. If you put yourself out there, look at what might happen. Think about how this could go. Oh, the land is good, but there's some giants out there too. And they're going to just plant the seed, that seed of doubt. That if you water that seed of doubt with unbelief, it will grow up and produce the fruit of despair, of depression, of someone who draws back when they should go forward. Oh, this morning, if we could have a group of people in here that said in 2014, we're going to ignore the negative people. Not only do they have this ability, these overcomers, to say whatever to the howevers, they also have this ability to know how to prepare a moment. I cannot express to you enough how important this skill is. Most people do not possess this skill. They do not know how to prepare a moment properly. You see, preparing a moment is kind of like a chef preparing a meal. You see, it's got to have the right spice, it's got to be at the right temperature, and it's got to cook and marinate for the right amount of time. And then when it's ready, it can be consumed. You see, Caleb did not instantly blurt out his opposition to the crowd. Did you notice that? He didn't say, God said, do this! You know, imagine whenever these 10 spies gave a negative report, there was instant confusion and murmuring in the crowd. Well, they said it was good, but they also said there's giants out there. They also said that we might die. Let's think about this for a moment. And everybody's talking to their spouse, you know, and maybe a teenager's out there saying, you know, what is he talking about? Anyway, whatever's going on, the crowd is in a confused state. Chaos is abounding. Now, if you're the type of person that blurts out and doesn't prepare your moments, then how many opportunities are you going to miscommunicate in the moment because you didn't prepare it correctly? Think about this for a moment. Do you ever find yourself having to explain what you meant? You see, if you don't know how to prepare a moment, your communication is going to suffer. And you're constantly going to say, well, let me tell you what I meant. Well, say what you meant the first time, because you might not get a second chance when you're going after the big things in life. Caleb prepared the moment. The Bible says he silenced the people. He said, everybody, simmer down for a little bit here, because I have a different perspective. I have a little different take on what's going on here. And as a result of him preparing the moment, he communicated, and by their response, it was clear that in two sentences, they knew exactly what he meant. They spoke forever. He spoke two sentences. He said these things. He said, we must do it. We must go up. Now think about that for a moment. A we must mentality is derived from a person who knows how to be an overcomer. If you don't have a we must mentality, you will not get anything done in life. A we must person has the ability to unlock doors that seem to be closed. I mean, a we must mentality person is a person that is going to get the job done. You show me a person that says we must do something, and I will show you someone who is going to charge. When everybody else says retreat, they say, no, we must go forward. When everybody else says, well, it might cost us this, it might cost us, I'll tell you, I cannot stand that we can't mentality. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I'm just giving you a preview. I cannot stand the we can't mentality. You have to get to a place in your life. If you want to accomplish great things, time is ticking. What thing in your life do you have that you say we must? If it's not divine, if it's not eternal, what is it that you can anchor your life to say we must if it's not God? You see, if God exists, if God is your Lord and Savior, if God is your master, then when you hear his commands, you develop this passion that says we must. Whenever the songs are played, we must worship. Whenever the opportunity to serve is given, you say, I must serve because I love my master. I give my life. We must is the mantra of the person who understands what God is all about. You see, whenever a person gets to we must, they are aborting all other alternatives. You see, when you must, it's not a, well, maybe. I mean, when you get to we must, you're committed. I mean, it's definite. I'm going forward. Most people in life never get to we must. When it comes to your job, sadly to say, when people comes to their marriage, when it comes to their children, how many musts have you laid down a foundation in your life that says, when it comes to our marriage, we must stay together. When it comes to our children, we must raise them up in the principles and the foundations and the fabric of the Word of God. When it comes to our church, we must be involved because God's church is his bride and he is our groom and we want to please the master. I mean, how many must do you have going into 2014? Oh, I'm telling you, you have to get to the we must mentality. Now notice he says we must because we can. Now that's good stuff right there. The reason why as people of God, we can say we must go up and possess it is because we can. The God of the universe is on our side. Jeremiah said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? The psalmist said, the Lord is my rock. I shall not be moved. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you understand where he goes to get this confidence? When everybody else is going the wrong way, the ability to stand up, to pause, to say silence, and then to speak a truth in the midst of opposition that he knows is not going to be welcomed, where does he get that from? He has learned to stand on a rock that cannot be moved. Where are you standing this morning? Do you find yourself on shaky ground? Do you find your relationships on shaky ground? Do you find your faith on shaky ground? If so, is it possible that maybe instead of following in the footsteps of Caleb, you've gone after what is the popular opinion of the people you've surrounded yourself with who have given you an out to not go after the big things in life, who have given you your excuse, your crutch, that you hobble around on, living a life of mediocrity. Man, that's not what God wants for you in 2014. Why the difference? I want us to examine this. We need to kind of drill down into this morning. Here were two sets of people, and you're in one of these crowds, by the way, so this is important for you. 10 people, well, let's just say 12. 12 guys went out and they walked the same path. Think about this for a moment. They walked the same path. They saw the same things. They heard the same promises from God. These people walked across a Red Sea that was parted and piled up and was walking across on dry ground, saw the 10 plagues of God, saw the fire of God, talking to Moses on top of, they saw everything that they needed to see to know that God was real. And so these 12 spies go out into the promised land and they said, it's good. It is good. I mean, what God has for us is good. And yet 10 of the people fell into this place of doubt. And only one guy stood up for what was God's. Now how did that happen? This is a question we have to ask. How do people walk the same path? How do people come in this church and sit in the same service? How do we read the same Bible? How do we go to life groups or do whatever we do? And yet, in some people, they have fruit that exemplifies that their faith is in God. And some people have a barren tree that is dried up and is withered away. What is the difference that makes faith produce? I would tell you this morning that as you look at the 10, compared to Caleb saying, we must because we can, they started off their consideration with, we can't. Did you hear what they said? Let's look at this verse again. Up here in verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him responded, we can't. We can't. We can't go up again. We can't. Man, I'm telling you what. If you start your consideration of chasing after big things with, we can't. I mean, we can't, won't even try. Do you get this? It's not like they went up and were like, oh, let's fight. Oh, we're losing. Let's. They didn't even try. They were like, let's avoid the big things in life. Is that your strategy this morning? Is your strategy to avoid putting yourself in a situation in which God himself would have to be God in your life in order for you to get to the other side? I mean, how many of us are comfortable with that level of faith? What you sow is what you shall reap. If you sow the seed of unbelief, you will produce destruction in your life. If you sow the seed of belief in God's word and stand on his promises, then you're going to have the fruits of the Spirit manifesting, overflowing in your life this morning. We can't has the ability, check this out. We can't has the ability to limit a limitless God. Your faith literally can limit God's limitless power in your life. You are an X factor in this equation. God said, I want to put you in. He is literally pushing them forward. All they have to do is believe. And yet, in their moments, they find themselves saying, we can't. And as a result of them saying, we can't, they wander around in a wilderness for 40 years and they die, never having reached what God was freely offering. Do you understand how important it is that you add faith to your footsteps? That you can walk the same road that I'm walking. You can walk the same road as the people around you. And if you don't add faith to your footsteps, we can see the same things, hear the same things, know the same things, and yet some are going to produce and some are going to wither and wander and die. In 2014, do you want to capture the big things? Do you want what God has offered you in your relationships, in your marriage, in your career, in your finances? Bill Belichick, I heard him in an interview yesterday. He said, I feel sorry for the person who goes to work every week and hates what they do. I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you think that Caleb had that mentality? Man, I'm telling you, 10 guys, they had that mentality. It's going to be hard. If you want, name me the person that did something incredible that it didn't take hard work. If you want to accomplish greatness, there's a reason why most people don't do it, because it's hard. It's difficult. And if you start off with "we can't, you won't," "we can't" is contagious. Did you know that "we can't" melted the heart of the people? As a result of their "we can't," the people listened to the "can'ts" instead of the "cans," and they melted, and then they followed them to their doom. It matters who you allow to speak into your life. That's a good place for amen. Amen, Brother Tim, right there. Who are you letting speak into your life? Are you allowing them to tell you what you can and can't do? Are you allowing the Word of God to be the rock upon which you stand? I would love for every marriage in here to be able to, "I'm standing on the Word of God. We shall not be moved." I would love for every person in their parenting philosophy to say, "I am standing on the Word of God. I shall not be moved." Oh, this morning, if we could get past the can'ts. The can'ts lack passion. The can'ts will extinguish the very fire that is in your bones. I refuse to surround myself with "we can'ts." I won't work with them. I won't hang out with them. I refuse. God never spoke and used the people that said "we can't." You've got to get to the place of faith in 2014 if you want to capture the big things in life. Let's close up this morning. I thought about this, and this struck me as profound. I hope that it will help you. If you look through the window of time, when you're looking through a window, you can only see what's in the opening, correct? You guys following me? Everybody kind of, yes, yes. All right, got you. Window, okay? If the window that you were looking at in the scriptures was Numbers chapter 13, and you didn't know Numbers 14, you just knew Numbers 13, and you saw this event transpire, and you were sitting on the outside having no backdrop of the Bible to be your guide, when you looked out that window, you'd be tempted to say that Caleb failed. Because when he spoke this audacious word of God, "We must, because we can," we want a brave heart ending, right? We want like, and then the people were like, "Yeah!" And they charged the hill, and glory came down, and victory was all around. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Whenever he spoke this word, the people went with the faithless instead of the faithful. And so if you looked out the window at this snapshot, you'd say, "Well, what's the point? What's the point?" I mean, if that's what speaking up for God gets you, why bother? You see, Caleb knew something that most people don't know. Most Christians, I think, lose sight of. Caleb realized that his audience was not them. His audience was him. And in Numbers chapter 14, listen to what God said. "But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me completely," God's eyes range to and fro over the whole earth to find someone whose heart is completely, totally devoted to him, and that he desires to show up in a strong, magnanimous fashion for those who have fully trusted in him. "God heard the lone voice in the crowd that said, 'We must, because we can.'" And he says right here, "As a result, I will bring him in." This morning in 2014, think about this. If you want to go in, who is your audience? Are you living for them, or are you living for him? It will make all the difference in the world about how you make decisions and whether you capture God's divine destiny for your life. Do you want to wander and wither and die in the wilderness of your life? Or do you want to finally decide that something has to change in 2014? And then that something starts with your heart believing what God has said. Oh, this morning, would you guys stand with us as we prepare for a time of reflection? Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for the testimony of Caleb. God, I pray that everyone would consider the people in their life right now, the voices in their life. Ask yourself, are they going to get you there? Are they going to get you there? Do you find yourself surrounding yourself with people that are crippling you by the words that they speak? Oh, today that we might hear a different voice. We might hear the voice of the Master calling us, saying, man, I have something incredible for you. I have something big for you in 2014. I pray that all of us would have a different spirit in here this morning that would hear that proclamation from God, that we would hear that and we would say, you know what, we must in 2014, we look around in our community and in our city and know that souls are perishing, that are falling through the fabric of time, dropping off into eternity apart from the knowledge of a Savior. I think when we see the reality, we have to get to it. We must share the Word of God this year. Would you guys sing with us?